Go ahead, Mike. I want you to lead us through this because this was your inaugural experience. This was Danny's inaugural experience walking on to Augusta National.
There is a lot to say, so much to say that I hardly know where to begin. But let's start with the obvious. It was a fantastic day out there today. It was great weather, and that place is everything that it's cracked up to be and more. And in fact, and I was given a heads up about this by a number of people before we came out here, there's one aspect of it that TV doesn't do a whole lot of justice to. And or I guess TV can't really capture this the way it is when you're actually there. But the up and down nature of the place, the topography of the place, the hills, the ups, the downs, and all of that stuff were, it was surprising. I was given a heads up on it, like I say.
We all were.
But still, seeing it and, you know, getting a grasp on the reality of it was surprising.
I told you guys, dress comfortably, you know, shoe-wise.
Yeah.
Wear something that you're going to expect some big mileage in because, yeah, not only are you going to walk a long way, you're going to be walking up gigantic hills and down these hills and back up again and over them again. And it's a nonstop exercise of climbing. And it's unbelievable that there's a golf course right in the middle of it all. You know, every shot that these guys have are from a side hill, downhill, uphill.
There's the only thing flat about that course is the water.
Some of the women?
Is the water.
Whoa, yay. You're right, the water.
That's it. That's the only thing level on that entire damn course.
Everything else is at a really crazy angle that you just can't see on television.
You truly can't understand the grades that are going on there. I mean, we're looking at a green that was a 21, 22 grade.
Oh, yeah.
And how in the world those balls ever come to rest is beyond me.
How many times do we see, the last one was DL3 on 18.
Yeah.
Was, or on 9, I guess.
Yeah, this was your big moment of the day.
Second biggest.
Was seeing Davis Love have about a 15-foot putt that skirted by the hole, and it got to about 3 feet by, and then I'm like, oh, that sucks, you know. I mean, that was a pretty good effort. And then
yeah, you're thinking on a normal green, it's going to stop there, right?
And then I just stop looking. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of look over at Davis, and he's got his hands on his hip and shaking his head. I was like, God, it wasn't that bad of a putt. And then I look up at the ball, and it's damn near 20 feet past the hole.
Yeah.
It just never, ever stopped. And every green's that way. It's the old Byron Nelson adage of, you let me place the ball on the green wherever I want.
Right.
And I guarantee you, you'll three putt. And you just see it time and time again. So we get through there. We get on the grounds. And we start to, we got there right when Spieth teed off. And
you didn't want to get caught up in that parade.
No, the Spieth vortex is very powerful. And there are a lot of people. And to be honest with you, there are times, even though the Master says they're not going to tell you how many people they allow out there or that are out there, it's really crowded. It can get really crowded within certain groups, and that certainly is one of them. So if you're anywhere in front of Spieth, behind Spieth, or watching him directly, you're going to catch a big crowd.
Yeah, you're going to be in a very big crowd. Now, there's another thing that's very surprising out there is that here in Augusta today, as we look out the window here, we notice what those flags and umbrellas are doing. There is a very, very big wind here today.
Yeah.
But there were holes out there at the golf course where you didn't notice it at all.
No.
Or there were holes where you noticed weird wind. It was very swirling in certain portions. Corby pointed out to me at one time when we were down in that little elbow, what's it called? The
Amen Corner.
Amen Corner.
It was 11, in between was, 11 green and 12.
In between 11 green and 12. And Corby goes, look at the pin on 11. And the flag was blowing directly to my right. I don't know what direction that was. Here we fast forward about, what, 40, 50 yards to the right of that on a green on this pretty much the same level. There is a flag going directly to the left.
Yeah.
Polar opposite
winds.
Yes. and it makes no sense in these little areas.
It was like that all day. What was the one that had the huge elevation? I think it was probably, what, maybe 15? Where we walked all the way from the top all the way down and around. Or was that not?
Oh, that was 10.
That was 10. That's right.
Yeah.
And
it was
on the
freezing.
Top of 10, it was freezing cold in about a 35-mile-an-hour wind. And you go down all the way to the very bottom into the valley of that fairway, and it was still.
Bottom.
Absolutely still.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were places where you didn't notice it at all.
Was I know it's real pretty on TV, but did you guys find it to be just stunningly gorgeous everywhere?
TV is amazing. The HD aspect of it's wonderful, but like Mike said, you do not get the topography of the place on television. It's really difficult to put into words.
Yeah,
Mike
just
said that
just,
he could.
Just
I
well,
can't.
Just for sheer aesthetics, it you know, TV does a pretty good job of capturing that. It looks beautiful on TV.
With the azaleas, and they stress all that.
Yeah, and it looks it lives up to that in real life, too.
But it doesn't look real. It looks like a video game when you watch it on television. But when you experience it and are walking through those pine needles and huffing it up a fairway where your calves are hurting and you're looking around at this landscape, it's unreal how gorgeous this place is.
And Danny,
there's nothing like it.
No, we were walking.
I've never seen anything like it.
And you were kind of looking around and you go, damn it, this was just cut out of a forest. I'm like, yeah, the whole thing was Bobby Jones's idea to create this golf course, and there's no doubt this was essentially a giant forest that he turned into just a stunning piece of property, of gorgeous golf property.
So do you think he's the guy that was there for the first time and had the first idea of
100%.
Making this place into a golf course?
Yep.
That's amazing because I've seen, obviously, more beautiful landscapes. I've seen more beautiful foliage and trees and flowers and a lot of that stuff up in that New England, you know, in Connecticut and Western Mass. I mean, it's just breathtaking. But this is a golf course. They put a golf course in the middle of all this and made it all work.
Yep. And for you guys, as we get on the golf course and we're wandering around and we start to follow certain guys here and there, and really, I wanted you guys to see the course more than follow someone.
We got to walk all pretty much 18 holes today.
We did, and I was really glad for that, and I was also glad that we didn't stick with one group, that we kind of bounced around a little bit, because at the very beginning, we got to see Dustin Johnson.
Yes.
We got to see him bomb a couple of drives. We did get to see what's her name? Gretzky, too.
Yeah,
Paulina. Paulina, yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. With her spray on pants.
Yeah.
And her butt.
Yeah, she
did
has
you see
a butt.
Her butt?
I saw her butt.
Yeah.
Looked like a spray on butt, too.
It did look like a spray on butt.
And then we got to see Tom Watson. And, man.
How cool was that, dude?
That was absolutely. It gave me chills. You know, and I know I'm a golf nerd. But you're talking about one of the top 10 greatest golfers to ever play this sport, and this is his last Masters. And he is still out there at the age of 65, not only playing, but playing well. Now, he didn't finish really strong, but there was a time when his name was up on the leaderboard.
It was cool.
Through like 13 holes.
Yeah, he was one or two under?
Yeah, and then he kind of fell apart after 14. But, dude, didn't you love that, seeing Tom?
It made me really hope that he would squirrel around and win this thing.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to happen, but still, just seeing his name on the leaderboard really made me hope that.
Right.
I would have loved to have seen it.
We caught him for a few holes. We were all over Jordan's group, and we caught a lot of Spieth up and down on the front nine and back nine, and got to see Ricky Fowler, and we had no idea at the time. And this is another thing. You're not allowed to have your phones out there, and so unless you see a scoreboard, you don't know what's going on, but the problem is the scoreboard only puts the top 15 guys up there.
Right.
And so you're like, wait a minute, where's – and I even said that.
Did Fowler tee off yet?
Yeah, I go. It's so weird not seeing Dustin Johnson or Ricky Fowler's name up there. It's just weird, and I'm wondering where they are.
Well, they were sucking.
They were terrible. They were absolutely terrible. But we did get to see Ricky play. We got to see a big snoot full of Louis Oosthuizen and his group.
A lot of Louis today. It was kind of the perfect follow because
he was just ahead of Spieth.
Yeah, just ahead of Spieth. So, you know, you would get to see the tail end of Spieth and then go start with Louis, and then we kind of follow Louis, and then you get
and
to see.
And it wasn't as crowded.
No, it wasn't near as crowded.
And by following Louis, we also got to see what can happen out there when things go wrong for you. Witness what happened to the two guys who were playing with him today at various times.
Yeah,
they junked it up quite a bit. What did you guys make of the food areas and snack areas and all that? It's a machine.
Overcrowded.
Food!
Overcrowded. If I got one knock on this place is that the concessions there's not enough of, there aren't enough bathrooms.
Now, the bathroom situation.
The bathroom situation is a freaking joke.
Yeah.
But you should not have to stand 50 deep in a line for 20 minutes to go whiz.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, you can say that.
That's my only knock. That's it.
You can say that about the concessions, but those things move.
Hey, once you're in the
concessions
line,
move.
Yeah, they get you moving in there.
And you can't complain about much when you're paying $1.50 for a sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unlike every other sporting event anywhere in this great land of ours, they don't, you know, they give you a pretty fair, they're a really fair shake here.
Well, you tell me, just in life in general, what aspect hasn't raised prices since 1982?
I can't think of hardly any.
This is the only. This is the that's one of the most unique things about this place.
And it is. It's comedy almost, and they know that. When you look at the boards that they have on the concession stands, and it says turkey and cheese sandwich, $1.50.
Yeah,
I paid more for a bottle of water than you guys did for lunch.
I bought a beer.
Bottle of water.
Bottle of water and an egg salad sandwich.
Yuck. Oh, God. You sure did.
And the whole thing
we're
was...
We're all paying for it.
Yes.
And the whole...
It will be till well into the night.
How much?
Six bucks.
$6.50, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, the most expensive menu item is, what, $3?
Yeah. I mean, they'll have big, giant grilled chicken sandwiches for $2.50 or $3.
The beautiful thing about the concession stand is the fact that they can't advertise for any particular brand.
No, there's no advertising anywhere on the course.
So when you go up there to get your Coke or Diet Coke, it's cola and Diet Cola. It's not Miller Lite. It's light American beer.
Yeah.
It is.
If you want a nice barbecue sandwich, you're going to get a barbecue sandwich. You're not going to get Lucky Louie's barbecue or anything like that.
No,
I love the and what they do is it, they have it all set up like an assembly line. So you're walking through, and one row will be sandwiches, and then you'll get to wraps, and then they'll get to the drink section, and it'll say on there, and they'll have it all set up.
Yeah.
And they don't say like, "What do you want? I want a cola." It's already there. It's
you
right
grab
there.
It.
You grab it, and you keep walking, and it says cola, Diet Cola, and then you move on to the sports drink.
Yes.
Because they can't say Gatorade or Powerade.
No,
it's just
you get a nice sports drink.
Yeah. But they take such pride in that. And think about it. Think about what NASCAR races, basically, all these sporting events are.
Yeah.
Everything is so overly advertised. It's so tacky. We go out to Cowboy training camp. What do we see at the practice field?
Signage.
It is everywhere.
A joke.
It's clutter.
Yeah, it is. It's embarrassing. But, you know, that's the way these things survive. They don't need any of that. They don't want any of it. And they make it a point for you to realize that, too, by saying, our deal is we don't want one human being knowing where any of this comes from because it doesn't matter. We have the money.
It's amazing. It's, man, I got to say this in all seriousness.
All right, hold your thought.
You want to do it next?
Yeah, because I know where you're going with this as far as ranking this experience compared to other gigantic sports experiences and whether it lives up to it. All right, all that next.
There's a lot of wind out at Augusta today, and when playing into the wind, get your back foot on the ball, keep your hands quiet, try to get it down. That is a Masters Minute. I'm Masters Mike.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Can't believe you remembered that. Did he get it all right?
Enough.
Enough?
Enough to where it sounded good.
Okay.
I got it all from George.
That was a Masters. You got it from me.
You got it from him.
That was a Masters Minute.
That was to get out of the trees,
all right.
Remember?
No, that's when hit playing into the wind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what you're...
Get your back foot on the ball. Keep your hands quiet. I got that from George.
Okay.
Keep your hands quiet.
And try to get it down.
Well, what do you do when you're trying to hit out of the trees on 11?
13.
That was 13?
Yeah, that was a par 5.
That's right.
I'll have to consult my master's minute thesaurus on that.
So Mike was dubbed master's.
A little bit better follow through than I had there.
Mike was dubbed Master's Mike. He had a lot of interesting questions, a lot of interesting golf points throughout the day today.
He had a lot of nicknames, Tron and Master's Mike.
Yeah. God, we spent a long time out there, man.
We did.
Fun. Damn, I know. That was fun.
I know. All right, so I want to hear what you have to say concerning this event itself.
Okay, personally,
yeah.
I thought that, in all seriousness, you know, it's been a pretty damn good week. Because I've got to do three things that I've never done before. One, play golf. Number two, see Bruce Springsteen for 3.5 hours. And number three, go to the Masters. It's been a hell of a run for me personally for the last 10 days.
It sure has.
And you won the golf tournament.
Yeah, which was such a blast. And I've already documented how much that meant to me and how exciting that was. This event, man, I'm telling you, I would rather go to this event than go to 10 Super Bowls. I would pick this event. This is like the World Series to me. Maybe not if you have your team in it, but just like a World Series. Because, number one, there's so many things to see. You're seeing the highest level of competition out there. You're watching
these guys,
Rory and Jordan and all these cats and Bubba and Tom and just all these guys that you've heard about and watched on TV for years. They're right there in front of you playing. We saw some amazing golf today.
Oh, dude.
I mean, what Jordan did was incredible.
We saw incredible shots. And you guys, I know that you only played three holes. Does that not, though, give you an appreciation for what these guys are doing?
Not that I needed to have more appreciation, but of course it does.
Yes.
Of course
it's amazing watching these guys hit balls.
The fact that they can, a threesome, can tee off into the wind, you know, with an entire fairway in front of them, and group balls, all three of their balls together that are within 5 to 10 feet, that they can just do that because they know how long they need to shoot it. They know exactly where it needs to go on this course to approach. It's undeniable the skill and expertise and talent and hard work that it takes to get to even remotely that level. It's one of the coolest sporting events I've ever been to.
For me, we were talking about this, Mike, about the biggins that we've been to.
Yeah.
Leading up to this, about Super Bowls and Stanley Cups and all that, World Series, NBA Finals. And we've been lucky enough to go to these things because our teams, local teams, have been in all of them at one time or another. But I agree with Danny.
Pound for pound.
I will take this over any of them outside of my team being in them,
right,
clearly. But if you just say, all right, I want you to go to the
Steelers Eagles Super Bowl.
Yeah, or we'll give you a day at the Masters.
I can't decline the Super Bowl fast enough.
Yeah, I know.
I can't.
I know. The World Series. I'm the same way with that. I mean, unless the Rangers are in it, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
But there's something really different about this.
We've been to the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is amazing.
It is.
I think, though, you do have to take your team being in one of those things you have to take that out of the mix.
Yes,
to fairly
of course.
Evaluate
of
all
of
this.
Of course.
Right.
And, gosh, I hate having to rank stuff like this because all of those events are great, and so is this. I've been to one Super Bowl where I had no real dog in the hunt. I've been to one World Series game where I had no real dog in the hunt. I've been to a number of championship series and this and that, but I've always had, you know, a team that I had rooting interest in there. Same with the NBA, same with the Stanley Cup, so it's real hard to compare all of those. But I'll just say that this ranks with the best of the best. And if you're going to take your team out of it, then yeah, this probably would be right there. It'd be number one, number two, something like that.
Yeah, and everybody says that this and the Kentucky Derby are the two things that exceed expectations as far as buildup goes. Because, you know, all those things are like, oh, you're going to the Super Bowl? Oh, man, that's so cool. You got to go to the NBA Finals. And yeah, I mean, your team's in it, but it's just not the same. There is just something about this place.
Yeah, and look, if you want to talk about going to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
take your team out of it and go to it and see how much fun that is.
Dude, it is the biggest beat down bore.
It
has
is.
To be.
It is. I mean, the whole thing is so corporatized, it's not even funny.
And this thing.
And like we were saying, that's not what's happening here.
You can go wherever you want.
Yeah.
You're not limited to a seat. You get to experience some of the most beautiful scenery you're ever going to see in your entire life and watch, you know, the most elite players play one of the world's oldest, you know, sports.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can compare to this.
And
it's like what I told you guys, it's golf Six Flags. It really is. You kind of get the feeling that you're at grown-up Six Flags.
Yeah.
Like, I call Fenway Park grown-up Disneyland because that's what it feels like to me. I get that feeling when I walk into Fenway like I did when I was a little kid going to Disneyland. This is like Six Flags. There's trails and you walk in and there's shops and gift things and then you get out into it and you're like, then the rest of it are just the most badass rides that you're ever going to experience. And if you want to ride the same one again, hey, you want to camp out on the 18th green and watch you know, two or three threesomes go through there? By all means.
Yeah.
You want to follow somebody around. If you want to sit in the middle of a fairway and watch guys tee off and see where their shots land and catch two shots, why not?
Yeah.
It's amazing. This is like, I cannot stress enough that if you, not even a huge, I'm not a huge golf fan. I watch it and I do enjoy it. I don't play golf. I'm the most generic golf viewer out there. And for me to say that this is one of the coolest things I've ever done, that says a lot. You've got to find a way if you ever have an opportunity to come to the Masters.
You've got to get down here.
You've
got to check this out.
Now, I hope I didn't over-inundate you guys with stories of each hole.
No, that was so awesome. It was like having you do that was like taking the JFK Museum tour and spending the extra money for the headphones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because Corby would pull us aside and go, okay, you remember that? You remember in 2011 when Tiger had to come out of the trees on this one and he hooked it all the way around and put it 5 yards to the pin? That's where this happened. You're standing right there, and you're like, whoa, that is so amazing. It's so cool. Now, I appreciated all of that. I wanted you to know I thought that was awesome.
I appreciate perspective in any kind of sporting event.
This is the first time you've got to see an actual tournament
I've never seen a real round.
I'm sure that you would have liked to have maybe done something different than kind of wrangling us and giving us the all-encompassing tour and giving us fun facts on every hole, so I appreciate that aspect of it. That was really cool of you to do that.
No, I mean, there's so much history to each hole. I mean, every single hole has a million stories. Every hole has a defining moment, you know? Every single one of these holes, you can look back and say, this is where the tournament was won, and not only was it was won in spectacular fashion, or like I was telling you about Greg Norman.
Some meltdowns.
Yes.
Historic meltdowns.
Yes, and each hole has that too. And so it's the both sides of the coin on every one of those holes where you can look at it and say, my God, this guy absolutely blew up on this hole. You'll never forget the seven, that how he made it or whatever. And then there's a flip side of, oh, yeah, and Louis Oosthuizen made a two on a par five on number two,
mm-hmm.
which just seems impossible. They all have their own little unique tales. To be honest with you, I'm glad that you guys, I'm glad you got to come out here, and I'm glad that I got to half walk you through it a little bit, because that's the fun part of it to me, is kind of learning about it, and, you know, learning the history of it, and knowing certain areas of the course and trees that are there aren't there anymore, and I don't know, it's just such a legendary place, and it's the only major. That's at the same place every year. This is it. It's here. This is the Masters. The U.S. Open and the British Open and the PGA, they rotate every single year. The Masters is here.
Forever.
And so, yeah, and you get stories every single year from here, from the back nine. The cool part, you know, we were sitting there on number 12, the par three, the most famous par three in the world, and you could hear the roars, the back nine roars of two holes over of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, they echo through the pine trees, you know?
And
you hear that on TV sometimes, and you know you're getting ready to see something cool. But hearing it live is
you got to wait for it. You don't know what happened.
You know something happened.
You're like,
something
oh, man.
Good happened for somebody.
Yeah, Spieth must have done something good there.
Yeah, but you don't know for sure who or what.
And you'll hear Vern Lundquist go, you heard the roars. Well, here it is, you know? But it's different, you know, hearing it in person. It's cool. You know, I wish we could go out there tomorrow. I'd like to park it at one of the holes and just see shot after shot after shot.
I found a couple of spots that I would love to nestle in and just chill out.
Yeah.
that would be really fun to get a couple of chairs and go out there early and just camp out.
Yep.
That would be a super blast.
Yeah, and you see why those guys do that. They get out there at 7 in the morning and they put their chairs down. And that's another thing is that, you know, nobody – you put your chair down and no one will steal it, bump it, move it, nothing.
They may sit in it, but once you get there and say, hey, man, that's my chair, no problem.
Yeah.
They're gone.
There's no
stealing.
No.
Nobody will come along and tell you, oh, you got to move this.
No.
They don't do that.
No.
It's nice. I'm glad you guys had a good time. I wasn't concerned that you wouldn't because it's almost impossible not to, just from a pure walking around standpoint. Even if you don't like golf,
yeah,
it's such a good walk. You know, it's such a great walk, and it's fun people watching, and I don't know.
That's what people say golf is anyway, nothing more than a good walk spoiled.
You know what's going to be super fun for me is when we get home Saturday and Sunday watching – this tournament.
Yes, watching the rest of it.
And knowing, oh, okay, that's where that is.
Right.
And having context. And when they are shooting, you know, at shooting 12, the most famous par 3 of all time, I know exactly what that looks like. And I know how far it is, and I know it's to the left of it, and I know it's to the right of it, and know what's coming next.
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing to me is having a general knowledge of this course now.
And
yes.
Looking at number 12 like you were, Mike, and you're like, wait a minute. All they have to do is just get it up over that pond and over that bunker and right there. I mean, it's only like 120 yards or whatever.
Yeah, you told me there was a little par 3, and I thought, okay, well, it's bound to be back there, you know, well behind it somewhere that they're hitting at.
Yeah.
And no, that's not the case. They just kind of have to nudge it up over the water and get it onto the green.
But unfortunately, the green is only about 6 feet wide.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have zero room for error.
And you see guys blowing it left, right, short, long, everywhere because they can't get the wind right. The wind direction drives them crazy because they look at that flag, and it may not even be moving. And then they'll look at the number 11 flag right next to it, and it's howling in one direction. And they back away, and they go talk to their caddy, and mm-hmm. you just don't know. It's just the magic of this place.
I can't believe there's not a cliche passed down from generation to generation for a level of difficulty of the 11 hole.
Oh, number 11.
Like for example, man getting into her pants is like shooting a birdie on 11 at Augusta because it just doesn't happen.
It's a really, really hard
hole.
That's
a tough par 4, man.
We saw guys going left and right, and Spieth almost hit it in the water, and guys going over the green and short of the green and everywhere else too because it's just so damn difficult. It's a great, great track.
I'll never forget it, man. Never forget it. And I've got the coffee mug to remind me.
Yes, boy, they're proud.
They'll give away sandwiches in the concession stand, but they're real proud of their gear, aren't they?
I swear they make you feel really good about getting a nice pimento cheese sandwich for $1.50. So good that you'll go in there and spend $395 at the gift shop.
Right. Yeah,
that's their back end deal.
Indeed. Yep.